Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that reminder that each of us was once lost and that we're alive simply because we're in you. Thank you for the cross of which we sung a few moments ago. We thank you for that, the fact that that tree of shame has become the tree of life for each of us here. And I pray that as you promised, Lord Jesus, that you came to give life and life in abundance, each of us would experience more of that. And we ask this for your holy name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you, and thank you very much for coming. It's very good to see you indeed, and thank you, Chris and Tim and Jamie, for leading us in worship. We need to keep praying for Chris, if we may. He's had quite a bad time with his throat, with all kinds of things, and you went for treatment on Monday and you keep on going for treatment. So you just need to pray that you'll still have a voice. It's rather key, actually, isn't it? So if you have any spare prayers, or when you have any spare prayers, it'd be great to pray for him. One notice, which of course, as you already know from the fact I've written to you, that there is tomorrow an opportunity to drop in and have a drink on the way home, glass of wine, glass of something softer, crisp or whatever, in the church garden, or if it's wet in here, really. But it'd be great if you were able to pop in from any time from about 5:15 to when the last person goes. And there, it will be great to have an opportunity to talk more than we can naturally do here on a Wednesday or at any other church service. May I read to you a few verses from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and beginning at verse 5 on page 920 in the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Most of us at some time will have been put on the spot about our faith by colleagues or by friends, sometimes logically and sometimes because it's got so late in the evening, they just think they'll have a gentle go at what we believe. Where they might have laughed at us in the past because we're Christians, or even given us a hard time. But sometimes, too, we find among our friends and our colleagues those who are genuinely curious about why our faith is so important to us, why we take Jesus seriously. There are lots of answers to that question, of course, and each of us, perhaps, would answer it in a slightly different way, depending on our recent experience of God, what we've read recently in the Bible. However, one reason that we will probably all talk about is our experience of Jesus answering prayer. all of us could point to moments probably when we've taken the risk of praying quite specifically about something that's mattered to us and found that our prayers have been answered. And the encounter recorded in these verses reminds us of how that actually is the Lord Jesus's default option, even when it was such an unexpected encounter. For the centurion was the last person in the world that the Lord Jesus's contemporaries could have imagined coming and asking him for help. He was someone who was used to sorting things out, making things happen, being in charge. That's why he was a centurion. And yet in verse 5, Matthew quite directly and quite simply describes him as coming and asking for help. And in the conversation that followed with the Lord Jesus, we read about him admitting that he was facing a situation where the outcome mattered to him desperately, but where there was absolutely nothing he could do to make it happen. There was no doubting that he valued the servant in question, that he was desperately worried about him, describing him as suffering terribly. And the Lord Jesus' response was immediate and it was practical, as we saw in verse 7, where we read him asking, "Shall I come and heal him?" Totally direct. Now that must have been exactly what the centurion was hoping for. For when the Lord Jesus put him on the spot, he didn't hesitate even for a moment. He was utterly confident, as we see in verse 8, that Jesus would sort it out with simply a word. The centurion, being in the army, understood authority and obviously saw that quality in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a remarkable suggestion that he made, that Jesus could just say the word and his servant would be healed. Jesus had never acted like that before. He'd always engaged with the sick person. But it reflected who the centurion believed Jesus to be. He'd somehow grasped that in Jesus, this young rabbi, God himself was at work in the world and ready to respond to those who asked for help. Jesus was obviously astonished by this level of faith, as we saw in verse 10. He talked about the man's faith in glowing terms. The whole incident underlines the generosity that characterized Jesus' ministry and still characterizes today his relationship with you and me. He wants through this to build our confidence further so that we can pray specifically and he can answer our prayers. We can't read these verses, any of us, I imagine, without asking ourselves whether we're ready to pray specifically about what matters to us at the moment. All of us, of course, can look at it and see, gosh, it seemed so easy that day. Jesus was there. "Shall I come and heal him?" he said. Everything was sorted out very quickly. It builds our faith, but for some of us, it makes us think, "Lord Jesus, I've been praying for something for some time. I know you're generous. I know you can do it. I know you answer prayer. Everyone else seems to get their answers very quickly, just as you modeled that day with that soldier. Lord Jesus, it'd be great if it was my turn now, if you'd answer the prayer that I'm asking. I love to pray, as the band come back to worship, for those who need that fresh touch of the Spirit, so that this doesn't remain a model from the past, but an experience in the present. I'd also like to pray for those as well whose faith is strong, that they be able to pray more specifically for that colleague, that friend, that change in someone else's life for their own, that promotion, that courage to admit our faith. Jesus answers prayer, even if sometimes we have to wait. Are we really sure about that?